Page 94, the Private Eye podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Page 94 quiz of the year. I'm Helen Lewis. I am joined by Andrew Hunter-Murray and Adam McQueen for a festive slug-a-thon. Can I just check that both of your buzzers are working? Andy, let's hear you.
Yep.
I sound like dinner. Adam, let's hear you. Right, good. I think that's...
absolutely deafening.
That's in no way going to become upsetting at any point during this. Thank you very much. We have Matt on the score, so there's everything to play for here. There will be a winner and a loser. Not everyone here is a winner. Yes.
Will there be a prize?
The respect and adoration of the Page 94 podcast fans.
I lost that plus many years ago.
Whatever's left over in the Quality Street at this point in the Christmas celebrations.
Okay, great.
First round is called Spare Me, and it is based on the...
No.
Yes. Adam already looking more confident than Andy. It is based on Prince Harry's memoir, Spare.
Right.
What did Harry apply to his frost-nipped penis, and why did he find it weird?
Oh. It was Vaseline.
Adam.
It was a sort of cosmetic cream. It was an ointment that his mother had used, and it smelt of his mother, and he said he had a weird moment.
I know the brand.
I'm going to need the brand.
It's Elizabeth Arden.
Oh.
It is Elizabeth Arden. Andy gets the point.
Thank you.
It is because his mother used to use it on her lips, which is just, in the audiobook, is even worse, let me tell you, than just reading it on the page. Who is Prince Harry describing in Spare here? He looked like a cross between Tigger and Baryshnikov.
Who's Baryshnikov? Question.
Mikhail Baryshnikov, the ballet dancer. That later becomes Carrie's lover in the last series of the first edition of Sex and the City.
Thank you. Okay. Well, no, now I know.
She knows the answers.
Now I know that.
Presumably, it's not just some member of his squadron in Afghanistan, is it?
Not.
It's going to be someone. So Tigger and Baryshnikov, Prince Edward.
Do you want any advance on that?
I'll say Prince Andrew.
It is not. It is Prince William at his natives and colonials birthday party.
Ah, yes, indeed. The one where Harry famously wore the Nazi armband, wasn't it? And William was in a leopard skin
onesie.
Tigger sort of suit.
Yeah. Okay, Tigger. I get the... right.
The tights. Got you.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Photos right. That didn't end up in the sun. Yes.
What anagram of Rebecca Brooks did Harry say was appropriate given the story he claimed she made up about him?
It was really offensive, wasn't it? It was really unpleasant. And now I'm trying to... I can't anagrams. It's got to have a K in it, hasn't it?
I wonder if it should be like King. University Challenge. I should deduct a point from you for popping too soon.
Is it rancid? Is it rank?
It's an anagram.
Is rank in there somewhere? I'd like to bid for half of the answer. Oh, a knob. There's a knob. Knob is in there somewhere.
No, again, because
really? Oh yeah. No N.
The story about him going to rehab.
Rebecca Brooks.
You couldn't even have gone with Wade. That would have been much easier.
Okay, I'm going to put you both out of your misery.
Yeah.
It is Rehabber Kooks.
Well, that's just
rubbish.
Don't take it up with Prince Harry. It's not my fault. Rebecca Brooks for not having a very good name for anagramming.
He says, doesn't he? Actually, he's coming back to me now. He refuses to use her actual name because she annoys him so much. So, yes, that's...
when he came up with another one, an even worse one, maybe for someone else. Or maybe it was for Rebecca as well.
I don't know.
Rehabber Kooks.
Rehabber Kooks.
That is a bad...
As in the sort of noughties band, the Kooks.
Yeah.
That's the reference.
It does give you an insight into what Harry was doing while the ghostwriter patiently typed up this whole thing, was workshopping away his anagrams.
I've got a brilliant one. This has got to go in. And the guy's sitting there going, oh, God, we never got this with Andre Agassi.
Okay.
Visiting a national park, of which poet does Harry observe, I'd managed to avoid reading that old gent stuff in school, but now I thought he must be pretty damn good if he spent time around these parts.
If it's Africa, is it Kipling?
It is not.
Ah.
Ooh.
Kipling's too soon with that one.
I'm going to say Shelley.
You're also wrong. It was Wordsworth on the Lake District.
Oh, that sort of national park. I just like the Kruger National Park. Well, he flies out to kind of Botswana at every given opportunity in that book, doesn't he?
There are national parks all over the world.
Whose politics does Harry describe as just to the right of the Taliban's? Adam.
Rehabber Kooks.
Mm-mm.
Prince Philip.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay.
You're not getting the point, Adam, but you were near it. It was Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, okay. I was going to go for that.
He did have experience of the Taliban, I suppose. So he's, you know, he's in many ways well placed to make that assessment.
Or as he calls him, peer murderer.
Poopert. Yes. Anyway, this next round is called Friends of the Eye.
Ooh.
So it's people who
didn't
have
know
been...
we had any.
Figured in...
Fewer as this episode goes on.
Why, according to Donald Trump, could he not buy fly paper this year?
They've banned it due to the wokeness. That's it, isn't it?
That is true. It has been banned, he claimed, because of cruelty to animals. And they say, it's cruelty to animals. Yes. It was just a completely made-up story that he managed to somehow latch onto and wow. just say, yeah.
Was it from anywhere? Like, it was from a mad right-wing website or something like that?
And no one just ever literally. Found the source of it. He just thought that's the kind of thing that they would do, wouldn't they? Okay. Next question. This year, Netflix's Beckham documentary notably did not mention pig botherer Rebecca Lewes. But Adam is so braced for this question. He's been waiting all his life, born ready for this question. But which longtime eye, Bette Noir, according to him anyway, is her second cousin?
Is Rebecca Lewes' second cousin?
Yes.
Yeah, Adam, this is one for you.
It's really.
He said, disclaiming all responsibility for having an answer.
Which longtime eye botherer?
No, she's the pig botherer. And though the cousin, to be fair, you could call an eye botherer in much the way that she bothered the pig. Yeah.
We've never done that to anything, as far as I know.
I'm going to have a punt that it's a political figure. I'm going to say it's Jonathan Aitken.
No, it is not. Think more boastful, and you've got a nickname for them.
Oh, Jeffrey Archer.
I'm just thinking Maxwell Goldsmith, Fayed.
Cousin, though. Got to be quite close.
I'm going to time you out. It is Piers Morgan.
Really? Piers Morgan's a second cousin.
So he claims. Or claimed at the time of the scandal in order to insert himself into the news agenda. So I'm not taking any responsibility for whether
right.
it's true or not.
Okay. Did you see that magnificent thing he wrote in the Sunday Times? It said, why I named the royals in Omid Scobie's book.
And it didn't say...
The answer is, so as everyone would look at me, wasn't it? So as I could be part of the story.
It was great. I actually watched the whole clip and he spends about 8 minutes sort of saying, you know, basically it's about how much he hates Omid Scobie. And then as a tiny
fast
parenthetical...
Fast forward right through to the last 5 seconds.
And yes. Yeah. Yeah. anyway, right, next question. Andy, this year we discovered you could do a Rishi Sunak impression. Who told him this year that we should, quote, stay true to the truth because truth pays?
Oh. No one in the Conservative Party.
No.
Clearly okay.
not. That's obviously
stay
absurd.
Stay true to the truth because truth pays. Greta Thunberg.
Keir Starmer.
It was Elon Musk. His podcast job interview.
Oh, I should have watched the podcast interview.
Should.
Sorry, it wasn't
should
a podcast,
should have paid some attention to the news this year, shouldn't I? That would have been an idea.
It wasn't a podcast. It just felt like a podcast, that event between the two of them, didn't it?
Just everything else in 2023 is a podcast. So you just
the rest is podcast. Adam, this year I enjoyed your Prince Charles impression. What, according to several news stories, is unusual about his relationship with ice cubes?
I know he says shoelace is ironed. There's the toothpaste story has come up again this year. Ice cubes. The royal family won't have ice in their drinks when they go abroad because of the danger of something
water.
In the water. Yeah.
I mean, that's a very good rule of thumb if you're travelling far.
That was definitely one of the Queen's rules, along with no carnation. So has he inherited that one from his mum?
I don't know. I will put that one out to VAR because I think I should accept that one if it is in fact true. But it's not the one I was looking for.
Oh, it's
Andy, do you want to have a go at this one?
Yeah, they're all carved into the shape of Highgrove, his ice cubes. That's it.
That is actually closer to the answer, which is that he doesn't like ice cubes. He prefers rounded ice.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I suppose you get more surface area connecting with the drink. Do you not think? They maximise your surface-to-volume ratio of the ice sphere.
Surely you would have a bit less. As in, it's quite an efficient shape, a cube. Whereas if you've got six sides... Write in, mathematicians. Please don't.
How do you make a round ice cube? What shape is the ice cube tray?
It's round.
You can do like a hemisphere, can't you? How do you do a whole circle?
Given that you can make round chocolates, the concept of a you might have to rotate the mold at some point. I'm guessing.
Actually, you make.
Oh, I suppose it's got people to do that for
you. You make a big cubed one, and you just dedicatedly chisel away.
You
at it
chip
for a long
away.
Time.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a load of ice sculpts.
There's a. I think it's called the Royal Cube Smither. It's some right. some title okay. like that.
The Royal
good job.
Rounder.
Yeah, yeah.
Next question: who, according to Anton Deck on I'm a Celebrity, are GB News's viewers?
Keith and Doreen.
Oh, so close, but not right.
It can't be Sid and Doris, I reference.
It cannot be Sid and Doris. Bonkers.
Kevin and Dorian.
Linda and Keith.
Oh,
Linda and Keith. They often give a shout out to Linda and Keith.
Do
who
they?
Are missing Nigel Farage. On. They say, oh, funny. The GB News viewers are missing Nigel Farage. And they say, now you've been very rude about their viewing figures because it's not just Linda and Keith. Sometimes their dog walks into the room as well. Okay, the next round is called An Answer to My Critics, which is my favourite genre of any kind of blog post, tweet, article. Who claimed this year that, quote, dark forces were trying to bring them down because they had, quote, political views that challenged the orthodoxy? Adam.
Liz Truss.
No!
Well, she must have done.
Yeah, I mean, not this specific quote.
Dark forces. Oh, Dan Wootten.
Correct.
Yes.
You didn't even have to dingle the about. No. I thought you were nailed on for Dan Wootten.
That's an unfortunate
phrase. I would have accepted Martin Branning. Okay.
I think we have to say allegedly at that point. I think the lawyer insists on it.
I would allegedly accept.
This will be the first legaled quiz, I think, broadcast this year.
Okay, who wrote this year? I was called everything from immoral to insane, and that was just some of the friendly fire I encountered.
Nadine Dorries.
No!
Oh!
Really?
No.
Wow. Yeah, I would have guessed exactly the same thing.
Everything from immoral to insane.
And that was just some of the friendly fire I encountered.
I'm going to say Liz Truss here.
It is Liz Truss. I think what's going to happen is that Adam is going to give the one... He's going to be like that great Two Ronnie sketch where he's just going to give every answer one behind. Yeah. Okay. Who said his expulsion from the Conservative Party, quotes, only confirms the culture of corruption, collusion and cover-ups which plagues our political system?
Andrew Bridgen.
Correct.
Yay!
Oh, very nice.
That was smooth.
Oh God, I've just cheered for Andrew Bridgen. This is what my life has become.
Potato King, Andrew Bridgen.
Mm.
Who said, the last time Christian reviewed one of my books, he said it was the worst book he'd ever read. It went on to sell 500,000 copies.
That's Nadine Dorries.
Yes, Nadine
I knew
Dorries.
If I just stuck with Nadine Dorries, I'd get there eventually. it's a quiz set by Ellen Lewis. We're going to get Nadine Dorries.
It was referring to Christopher Hope, Chopper, formerly of the Telegraph, now of GB News. So yes, although he said the book was bad, it also sold. Who knew that things that are bad are also popular? Okay, next question. Who said, in retrospect, it was naive and trusting in me to think that these proceedings could be remotely useful or fair?
I think that's Boris Johnson on his kangaroo court.
It is correct.
Yeah.
Pulling back. So that means at the end of that round, Andy's on 4, Adam is on 3. Oh no, Andy's
on
5. Sorry. At the end of that round, Andy's on 5, Adam is on 3.
I knew fuming. I kept a closer eye on the news than you, Adam. I knew it. I always had a hunch.
Okay. Next round is called Spare Me Too.
No.
Oh, God.
Just to give you that full sensation of reading the memoir. Okay. On what occasion does Prince Harry say, I've drunk booze out of multiple prosthetic legs in my life, and I can't swear that was one of the times?
His dad's coronation.
Is this a party with James Blunt, where someone was supposedly knighted with a sword and then lost a bit of their scalp? Is that...
I didn't even remember that.
Oh, hang on. I thought you were just recalling your own weekend there. But yes, no, it was either Beatrice or Eugenie knighted James Blunt.
With a sword.
At a party. Yeah.
And I think Harry was there.
Yeah.
But it's not that occasion.
He
may also have drunk wine out of a prosthetic leg, but that was not the time that he was writing about here. That was, in fact, reaching the South Pole.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Where the frostbite to the willy occurred.
Frost nip. It's different from frostbite.
Okay.
It's a subject in which I now have way too much knowledge.
And is Elizabeth Arden Cream the correct solution for both?
I mean, no, I don't think it is the correct solution, but I think you have to keep it moist.
Oof.
Sorry. Let's move on. With what does Harry have a lively conversation after trying shrooms at Courtney Cox house?
Oh.
I think Andy.
I think it's going to be a yucca plant.
It is not.
It's something in the bathroom, isn't it? It's either the sink or the mirror.
It is not either of those things. Well, it is in the bathroom.
Is it his valet? It's the first time he's ever spoken to him.
No, it is not. It was a pedal bin.
Pedal bin.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he sent someone else in who was also incredibly high and said, like, mate, don't go in the toilets talking to you. And the guy had a terrible, terrible trip.
Wow.
At their first meeting, whom does Meghan assume is the Queen's assistant because he was holding her purse and escorted her to the door?
Can I say Prince Andrew again?
You can, and you'd be right.
Really?
No. That is...
Yes,
very funny.
He just apparently just stands there holding a handbag and then ushers around. And like, who was that guy? And they're like, that's Prince Andrew.
Wow.
We don't
speak
about him.
We don't
talk about him.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Was he holding the handbag so he could extract the checkbook from it at some point? Right. 12 million quid check.
Fend off angry people. Next question. From whom and what kind of Halloween costume does Harry borrow in the book? Okay. A. George Clooney's Batman suit. B, Tom Hardy's Mad Max outfit. C, Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man costume. D, David Tennant's Doctor Who coat and scarf.
It's Clooney, isn't it?
It is not Clooney.
It's not Clooney, not the worst Batman.
That was the only, the first Batman suit with nipples, if you remember.
It was, yes. I remember it well, yes. Yeah.
But he didn't, no. That's not something that Prince Harry's been seen in.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to
go with... You've got one in three chance, Andy. Come on, I believe in you.
I'm going to go with Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man suit.
Oh, God. No, it was Tom Hardy's Mad Max outfit.
Oh. Was it for a party or just for...
For Halloween.
Oh, Halloween, sorry.
I thought Meghan also had a matching costume. I think she may have come as Immortan, whatever it was, you know, Charlize Theron's character. But anyway.
Oh, she's Furiosa. Just sorry, point of there we go. Point of all of the...
I think we're fine.
I think, yeah.
Are they mates then, Tom Hardy and Prince Harry?
Phone up Tom Hardy and got him to give his character. Yeah.
I mean, you don't normally get to keep the costume, do you? At the end of it, normally goes off to Hollywood or somewhere.
And he went for Mad Max instead.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to go to a party wearing a Bane costume and spending the entire evening going, oh, that's a drink. What?
They're both wearing very difficult masks for a lot of the film.
And he spends the night in the bathroom talking to the pedal bin anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
As soon as he leaves, the pedal bin says, I didn't catch a word of that.
Oh, Miss Scobie goes, hang on, it's all right, I've got it.
Okay, next question. Okay. And the final one about Prince Harry.
No.
Which one of these people is not thanked in the acknowledgements to Spare? A, Bradley Walsh. B, Oprah Winfrey. C, Tyler Perry. Or D, James Corden?
I couldn't even part then. That was a pathetic part. It's got to be Bradley Walsh. He's just in everything else.
Correct. He is, in fact, in everything else.
Tyler Perry owns their house, doesn't he? He lent them the house.
Oprah Winfrey, obviously, they did their show. And James Corden, he sat in his car, did the karaoke thing?
I think he did carpool karaoke at some point.
He did a thing on a bus, didn't he? Top of an open-top bus.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Was he doing one of those tours, like a sort of British London open-top bus tour guide?
I think that was the kind of theme of it, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Everywhere that he'd had a grievance, he just pointed to me. That's when I was given a slightly smaller share of sweets and Horse Guards Parade.
Anyway. I felt like it was a bad round for me.
And the scores at the end of that round are 6 to Andy and 4 to Adam. So there is still all to play for.
Right, okay. I'm hand on hooter now.
All depends what the subject... All right, Adam. All depends what the subject of this final round is.
This round is political scandals of the 1990s. It's not. It's not.
Oh, I really believed you there. I thought, I'm in. Damn it.
Yeah, political scandals from slightly before Andy was born.
That young.
I'm 36.
I know, but I've decided to make me feel better about being 40 by implying that you're a kind of...
And actually, for me to pick up any points the way I'm playing, it would have to be political scandals that are actually in my book of political scandals that I wrote, and I probably still wouldn't get them right. So.
No, this round is called Anti-Woke Balls.
Ooh, okay.
So it's all about the year in woke. Who said this in November? Why the hell is the BBC trying to bowdlerise Fawlty Towers, one of its finest creations? Why can we not mention the war? Why are they trying to sandpaper Roald Dahl? Why could we not say fat?
Oh, that's really good, because I thought it was going to be a cleazy one at the start.
It's not going to be cleazy,
but actually it's sort of all about everything.
Do you want a clue? I can give you a clue.
Yeah.
This was said in the House of Lords.
It's
my favourite Yevgeny Lebedev, isn't it?
It's your favourite Yevgeny Lebedev, not
the
lesser.
He's the best of all the Yevgeny Lebedevs.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
It is. Apparently, yes, we can no longer say fat, although he just did that.
This was the speech in the House of Lords that he press released beforehand in case anyone wanted to interview him, because he'd actually turned up to do his job for the second time ever.
You should have asked to interview him and then just gone fat. Look, I'm saying it. That's what you're going to do. Okay.
Wow.
Next question.
Okay. We just mentioned the war, but the one in Ukraine. That would have kept him really happy.
According to The Sun, the words personal assistant are a woke alternative to which traditional job title beginning with C?
Which words? Personal
assistant. You now have to say instead of...
Chauffeur?
I was going to go with companion, you know, one of the sort of middle-aged spinsters from Agatha Christie novels.
Loved it.
That's quite good.
That very much, I think, speaks to the difference in your lives and experiences.
Oh, that's great. No, hang on. Can we have a second?
There are a limited number of job titles beginning with C, so given enough typewriters and monkeys, you should get it eventually.
Chaperone?
No.
Again?
No, where are you? All your references are like Mitford novels.
Constable.
Personal assistant?
Yes.
I mean, it's secretary, but what's secretary but beginning with C?
Secretary spelled wrong.
Yeah. Oh, that's our joint answer, please, Helen. Second.
Oh, is it a Prince Harry anagram? Is that what
no,
it is?
No, it's not. It's another job that is done quite widely that you could fairly describe as being a personal assistant to someone.
Coordinator.
I mean, there's lots. Come on.
Creationist.
There's like cook, cleaner. I mean, oh, yeah. Some very basic
cook
ones.
Or cleaner?
No, it's not cook or cleaner. Come on.
Caretaker.
It's not.
Damn.
Carer?
Correct.
Oh!
I was about to mock you for only ever having one job and that you're like maybe you didn't know the world of work just because you turned up at Private Eye and never left, like a sort
so
of Willy Wonka.
The Sun are claiming that this is a woke term for...
Yeah, that you'd have to say personal assistant, you can't say carer.
No, but they're different things. You get.
There is already
different...
a thing called a personal assistant, which is...
Take it up with the Sun, people.
You get different benefits for if you're...
Oh. It sounds like we're saying this... This woke thing isn't all...
Care is a difference to personal assistant. Sorry, as someone who's been organising a lot of care for disabled and elderly people in the last few years, they're wrong. Surprisingly, the Sun are wrong on that one.
Okay, well, we now have three questions to go, and I have to say you've drawn level.
What? How the hell has that happened?
I
demand a recap.
It has.
Genuinely distraught.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. Turns out that entire round on the novels of Adam McQueen was really decisive. Okay. Vegetarianism is, of course, woke. Andy looking very confident now.
Yep.
Who said this year, fake meat may be okay for astronauts, but when people think of a meat feast, I want them to be thinking about our great Welsh lamb, our Aberdeen Angus beef, our saddleback pork, not some pizza topping.
Is that Therese Coffey?
It is Therese Coffey. Oh! This is very tense. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to need... This is a two-part answer. I'm going to need both parts. Okay, so for this one. According to Suella Braverman, what do the Wokerati eat and read? Adam.
They eat The Guardian and read tofu.
That is sort of correct, yes. Why not? Oh, my God, that means it's a nail-biting thriller, for it all comes down to the final question.
I know we're recording in a quiet office, but a hush has descended on the room. I think that's fair to say.
Genuinely, actually, really feeling quite tense now.
I love this. This is what happens when you do anything involving journalists who are naturally competitive people. They're like, oh, yeah, I don't really care about the quiz. It's absolutely fine. Yeah, I just... Oh, God, stop it! No laughter. The new Minister for Common Sense, charged with leading the anti-woke agenda, is Esther McVeigh. But what extremely woke play did she appear in back in 2003, seated in front of a giant V? The BBC described her performance as a solid performance with good polished delivery and some good characterisation too.
Giant V is the giveaway, isn't it?
I think that was Adam. And so you get first go at it.
It's the vagina monologues, isn't it?
It is the vagina monologues.
Yes!
And with the vagina monologues, you clinch victory.
I'm not going to say which word I'm thinking, but it's relevant to the vagina monologues.
And also coming back to a very nice Private Eye reference, because if you remember, one of the consistent stories about the Daily Mail was that the Paul Dacre used the C word so many times in the office that his editorial meetings were known as the vagina monologues.
Brilliant.
They were indeed.
Well, that means a great big Christmassy pudding treat goes to Adam and a great big puddingy sadness goes
wooden,
to
the wooden
Andy.
Spoon that was used to stir it.
Lump of coal. Which I also don't like either, so...
Thank you very much for playing. I'm sorry that I had so many questions about Prince Harry's book. I see that now that was an error. But thank you very much both for playing, and thank you to all our listeners for your continued support and ears throughout the year, and we will see you again very soon.